3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome back to the show, guys. We're going to talk about Ohtani. We're going to talk about the first week of baseball. And we're going to talk about so much more. But I would like to introduce other Chase. Not my brother Chase, but Chase Darno.
Which camera am I looking at here?
I think you can look at this one right over there.
Hello, everybody.
Chase Darno, he's a bona fide MLB player, retired, opened up Darno Athletics with his brother Travis. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for stepping in. Chase Bennett, my brother, by the way, is sick. He's got pneumonia.
Oh, but he's also sick in the other kind of sick, in the more of like figurative, less literal.
All the sicknesses.
Way. Yeah, he's still sick. But no, it's been good having Cameron here doing his thing. Got the baseball bro in the facility making videos. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I like our competitions that we have going on. Those are fun.
Those are really fun. So let's get into it, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So the first story that I have is actually something that I can relate to because I was at this game. I saw this home run live with my very two eyes. And I filmed it, and I recorded it, and I was like, he's going to go deep here. And boom, Ohtani hits his first home run as a Dodger. Now, the controversy is that, you know, amid the whole betting scandal with Ohtani, the person who caught the ball got a very measly reward for giving the ball back to Ohtani. And since then, the Dodgers have made amends. They've been accused of pressuring her to give the ball back by not giving her like enough, right? So like, I'm pretty sure like they gave her like a couple balls, a bat, and like a jersey. Didn't get to meet Ohtani, and separated her from her husband, like in the negotiations. Everyone online saying like that ball's worth $100,000 and the Dodgers only gave up like next to nothing to get it from her. So what's your opinion on that? When a fan catches the fly ball, like is it the organization's responsibility to do justice or like a due diligence in like offering something that is of equal value to whatever that value of that ball is? Or is it on the person who's negotiating to kind of like, you know, be like, hey, that's worth a lot, you know, and I'm not going to go for anything less than XYZ.
I think it's on the person.
Yeah.
I think it's on the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it takes a certain person to want to do that. Obviously, she didn't really want to do that or be that person. I don't feel like it's team's responsibility to compensate somebody for the monetary value of a ball, like the significance. Like they're hoping like, hey, like that'd be great if this person would take a signed bat and take the sentimental factors that we can provide to them. But I guess like they got lucky and Ohtani got lucky. Like,
yeah.
When I hit my first home run, I remember I was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
An Angels fan caught it, right? This girl and a friend, they caught the ball. They were in Angels hat, like, oh my gosh. And then after the game, somebody came up to me and said, Chase, we found the person that has your first home run ball. They'll give it to you. They just really want to meet you and have you sign some of their items. I'm like, okay, cool. No problem. So after the game, we met up and took a picture with them. And it was great. She's very nice. And
yeah.
I got my game ball.
Heck yeah, dude. That's literally what I was going to ask you is like, what, like as a player, they were like willing to give that ball back. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you get into like that sphere of like Ohtani status where you're a $700 million man,
right.
You just signed the biggest contract in athletic history to play for one of the best teams in the MLB. And then you hit your first home run amid a betting scandal. Also like you have the most money in baseball. There's this silly thing with Joe Kelly where like Joe Kelly's wife was like recruiting Ohtani in because Joe Kelly had Ohtani's number and he was like, we'll give you his number. And then I saw a video online that Ohtani gave her like a Porsche for like the whole funniness and like to, as a thank you for the number, you know? Mm-hmm. Like what is the workflow? Is it Ohtani that's the one offering like, oh, hey, give him this, this, and this? Or is it the Dodgers on Ohtani's behalf?
I think it's the Dodgers on his behalf.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got his mind on other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you finish the game, you just want to go in, hang with the boys, and get ready for the next day. I mean, he has his routine. It's a significant home run, of course. But, yeah, they lucked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't too demanding. I don't know much. I don't know a whole lot of the details from this interaction. Like, I didn't know that they separated her from her husband.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that. I don't know how that all went down.
It was a bad look.
Like, sometimes the reporting's not always the most accurate, and they embellish to dramatize things.
Mm-hmm. So here's what happened in response. What did they say? They said they've been invited to an on-field experience at Dodger Stadium, and the team is also going to review its ballpark processes for retrieving milestone balls. So that's a bit of good news, I guess, that it wasn't like an Ohtani thing. Because in my opinion, as an everyday viewer, I'm like, this is like Ohtani being like, hey, what can we give him? Like, what's the least we can get him so I could get my ball back? But it's really like the Dodgers just kind of being like taking the lead on that. And Ohtani's like, oh, sweet, you got my ball? Thanks. What it is?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't think they put that in the players' hands or say like, and Ohtani's not going to just say, oh, sweet, they gave me the ball. I'm going to give him $100,000 for giving me that ball. Like, that would take a special player to do that. Like,
yeah. Yeah. That's a lot, dude. You know, it is it's a free market out there too. You know, yeah.
I mean, she could have done that and put her foot down and said, look, I want to keep this ball, and played hard to get and then gone home with it.
Yeah, that could have happened.
She had every right to.
Yeah. I think it's funny because, like, when I was thinking about this, I had two opinions, and I kept fighting back and forth. I'm like, everyone out there that's saying, like, oh, they should have gave more. They're probably the same person that's going to put, like, a lowball offer on a Facebook marketplace item, you know, and like just be like, oh, can you take half? Like everyone's about the negotiation, you know? Like, I feel like if you're saying like, oh, you're a hypocrite for, you know, making all this money and then offering low, like, I mean, would you do the same if you were also in the position? But at the same time, I'm just like, dude, like, that is a collector's item. That's like gonna be valued at like way more than just what she got. So it's just a weird balance, I guess, that you have to think about. But anyway,
I'm sure they asked her like what they were feeling it out.
Yeah.
Right? They felt the whole situation out.
She's like, I don't know. For me,
let's say I was in the stands, right? And I caught it. Here's what I would do. I'd be stoked. Right? I wouldn't have any intention of keeping it. I'd want Ohtani to have it. Mm-hmm. I would like a replacement ball with him signing. I'd like a signed bat, and I'd like a photo. With Ohtani. And if I get those three things, and a photo with my kids too, and my family, if they're there as well, just the whole party, if I can get those things, I'll be happy.
That's enough. But
I'd feel bad asking money from a player or organization for a ball like that.
Yeah.
That'd
be brutal. Personally. I don't think organizations would do that though. I think they'd give like season tickets. So that'd be really nice. Turn into money.
If it's a milestone ball. Like, yeah. That's something that they can give some value that,
100%.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. They threw in the experience for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it would be nice to have. What is that? What is it? The dugout club behind home plate? What's that called?
Oh, yeah. It's called the dugout club, I think.
The dugout club something is else. What? Season ticket holders? There's something else, like a diamond club. Something else that's even.
Yeah, you go underneath tier, and you go
right
through
behind
the
home plate.
You go through the trophy room.
I should know what that's called.
Yeah.
I've been there once or twice.
Yeah. I would love maybe five tickets there. That would be nice.
Great. Great food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Full, what is it? Full buffet, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
If you're not supposed to be there, they'll sniff you out really fast.
Yeah. That's funny. Never try to sneak in, but I wonder what it would be like.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to our next topic.
Oh, it was off Rodgers.
Was it?
It looks like it.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Lefty on lefty.
Rodgers.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Good for Ohtani.
Yeah, it was wild. The stadium was electric, dude. Everyone was going crazy. It was like an outside fastball that he just yanked. And right off the bat, you knew it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Good for him. Let's move on, though. We got some big guys going out for the year with Tommy John potential. UCL, it's not holding up. Spencer Strider, Shane Bieber. For a lot of these guys, this is like their second UCL injury. And right now the buzz is that the Players Association is claiming that the pitch clock is to what to credit these injuries on. And for some players, I feel like that's true. Like Alec Manoa, who had a very Cy Young year like 2 years ago. Once the pitch clock was implemented, he kind of threw off his rhythm. He started getting injured. And now he's struggling in the minor leagues on a rehab assignment. But I am more under the impression that the reason for the injuries is not actually the pitch clock. It's more the way that pitchers are throwing harder, faster. So they're getting that velocity up over 1 to 2 years. Almost everyone that I know that increases their velocity from like 88 to 96 becomes a UCL tear victim like 1 or 2 years after implementing that in a game. I have a close friend, actually a mutual friend. We both know him. His name's Connor. Played for Long Beach. He had two Tommy John surgeries or two UCL tears. Mm-hmm. And it was because he was throwing 80 high eights in high school. And he went to Long Beach, the dirt bags. And then he boosted that velocity by like 5-6 miles per hour. And then boom, snap, done. What do you think about that? As a coach, right? We're trying to get people to be stronger, throw harder, hit harder. Is this the best way if that is the reason? Or do you just disagree with me altogether?
Yeah, I guess the question that they're trying to answer is there a correlation, right, with the pitch clock mm-hmm. and injuries? And that's tough to say. Dude, I'm not a pitcher.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it feels like to go out there seventh inning, 80 pitches into the game.
I wouldn't say you're not a pitcher, dude. You got some innings under
your belt. I do have a couple innings under my belt. I just throw goose eggs. Zero ERA. May have given up a couple knocks, but nobody scored.
Nobody scored.
Against Little Cheetah. Now, okay. Human beings have not changed over the years, right? Mm-hmm. From a biological standpoint, our training methods have changed a lot the last 10, 15 years because technology's gotten better. So we've been able to get more information that help players at a younger age train like the elite players do and show. And now you have way more players throwing hard with mm-hmm. high velo. And there's only so much the body can take, yeah. right? You have a ton of players. Like there are a few guys in every team right now that throw over 100. And that's including an organization's minor league system as mm-hmm. well. Like there are AAA teams with 2 or 3 guys that are throwing 100. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I first got called up in 2011, I'd say the average starter was 89 and 93. And then every year after that, it kept getting higher and higher. Then when I finished in 2019, it was a ton. But I guess I just don't know. I don't know like how important is it for those extra few seconds to let a guy's arm rest in between pitches. I couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. But I know some guys that could tell us what it feels like. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can get them on. I could ask them and see what they think.
That'd be nice.
Because they'll just be honest and say, yeah, you know what? I don't have as much time to recover between and I feel the difference. Like some pitchers really like it.
Yeah.
Like look at Burley. Look at those dudes that don't take any time at all.
Yeah.
Like Chris Sale can work quick. Like there are a bunch of pitchers out there that don't need all of that time and they're ready to go and they get after it and they're not getting hurt.
Yeah. So there are.
I think it's more so like them getting after it and just throwing a lot harder, faster. There's also one last thing to consider our mechanics.
Yeah.
Like if a guy has the wrong mechanics, that could lead to injuries too. And there are some guys that could just throw ched, but they just don't get back into this triangle. Like some guys get too much length and they don't get back to this position. And that when they are here and then they start to pull and rotate, it puts a lot of strain on that UCL. Mm-hmm. Just there are a few different reasons, but
yeah,
let's find out. We'll talk to somebody.
Yeah, because like I wonder if there's a technique that you can do or like a way that you can strengthen your UCL. Because I feel like maybe that's the next generation of like training these athletes is implementing exercises that can strengthen that tendon as opposed to strengthen the rest of the body. And then that tendon kind of bears the brunt force of that motion, that snap, this mm-hmm. right here, you know? Because like I know with rock climbing, I rock climb every once in a while. The most common injury is your polar muscles in your fingers. And what happens is people will train and they'll get really strong in their upper body, mm-hmm. but they'll over climb on holds or like routes that their fingers and hands can't handle because your tendons strengthen slower than your muscles do. Mm. So everyone pulls their pulley finger tendons, even though they're able to like pull themselves up with their muscles, their hands can't handle it. So it's like very important as a rock climber to take your time as you're like strengthening, even though you might be strong enough to do the higher climb, you should still work on strengthening your tendons so that you can do those grips, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I wonder if there's like something out there that can, I don't know, increase the rehabilitation process of a worn down UCL before it snaps, or a way that you can just work on strengthening the UCL outside of putting pressure on it by doing, you know, everything that'll get you to throw faster.
Yeah.
With like the rest of your muscles. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That's something to consider.
Yeah. So you could ask Jackson, you know, one of our instructors.
Yeah.
Jackson McClellan.
Yeah.
You know, he threw over 100 miles an hour, right?
I know. Yeah. And
6'5", guy's a horse.
When he
stallion. We should ask him because he's very familiar with velo programs, and he's had to go from 92 to 100 a couple different times. Like during COVID, he didn't pitch a whole lot, so he had to work his way back up to 100, and he did.
Did he ever? Did he ever? Yeah.
He's I don't know. I don't. Not to my knowledge, but he's definitely pitched with the pitch clock the last few years. So we can ask him, and he's pitched before the pitch clock too. So we could bring him on and get his opinion.
Yeah. We should. That would be awesome. That'd actually be interesting because like there's not a lot of people on this planet that could throw 100 miles per hour, and we have one in this facility. That's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our next thing because I wanted to talk about this because I'm really excited. We're finally into the season. We could talk about things. We could talk about stats. We could talk about performances. But actually, now that I have you on, I actually want to just focus on mindset. Right? Mm-hmm. It's opening weekend. It's opening week. The first 1 to 2 weeks of the season. I know when I was playing college ball, the first two series, the first two weekends playing against like teams, we're not playing against like our league games. It's not that they don't matter, but they matter less because the league games are when we, you know, start to like rank up in the college rankings, or like win our league, we get an automatic bid into the playoffs. So the first couple weekends are like a trial to see which one of those players is going to stick in the lineup, or which one of those pitchers is going to land or solidify their starting position in the rotation. Is that pressure or is that expectation carried on at the major league level? Like when you're 1 week, 2 weeks in, do you kind of have an idea of where you're at already, or are you fighting for that spot, for that starting spot for the rest of the year?
It depends on the player, right? Like if we're talking about a 10-year veteran who's the starter and there's a backup player, they're going to have a lot more time to get their way, to find their way. Like when I was playing with Freddie Freeman in 2016, very slow start that year, very slow start. But you think that he was worried about job security? No. Yeah. No, they stuck with him, and he struggled the first couple months. And then halfway through the season, he made an adjustment, ended up hitting damn near over 300 that year. Crushed it. Absolutely crushed it.
Yeah.
But now, if you're a guy that is in his first year, second year in the big leagues, right, maybe you had a cup of coffee the year before, you're not going to have as long of a leash, right? And you might have 2 weeks, 3 weeks to prove yourself, to contribute. And, some guys might struggle with that. And they're thinking about that. They really need to just stick to the process and not focus on the results so much. You know, make the right adjustments. Because there is somebody in AAA that plays the same position. There's somebody that might be performing really well. There might be somebody on the bench. And it's really close. So a lot of it depends on the player, where they are in their career, and the depth chart.
Okay. I have a very particular player that I want to bring to the table here. And I want, I think this would be good because his name's Spencer Steer. He's from Long Beach, right? He plays on the Cincinnati Reds. Pop him up real quick on your laptop here.
Yep.
In 2024, or let's go in 2023. In 2023, he hit .271, hit 23 home runs, 86 RBIs, 74 runs. He's kind of like a utility guy. He could play pretty much anywhere, but right now he's playing outfield mostly. In fantasy, for instance, he plays first, second, third, and outfield in Yahoo leagues, which means he's played all of those positions at least 7 or 10 times. I don't know what the qualification is. But his average is .406. He has 3 home runs, 12 RBIs, 2 stolen bases, 8 runs, and 32 at-bats to start the season. He's ranked in our fantasy league number 2 in points behind Mookie Betts. He's 26.
Did you say Mookie or Mucky?
Right? Mucky. No, but what do you, what, like, as a player, you get off to a hot start, you're still making a name for yourself in the league, right? He's not like no one. If you said Spencer Steer to a regular person, they'd be like, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what team he plays on, right? But like if you're like deep in the baseball world, you're probably recognizing, oh, this guy's got game. What is like as a player who's up and coming, what's like that mentality? You come up with a hot start. Like, how are you feeling, you know? Or how would you want, what's your advice to someone like that?
That's off to a hot start like that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything to him. I wouldn't give him any advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. My advice to somebody that's thinking about giving him advice when he's hitting 406 is to not say anything and leave him alone. let him do what he's doing. I wouldn't want him to put anything else in his list of ingredients. I just want him to stick to whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say a word to him.
Okay. Now let's say like, you know, the fall is inevitable. He's not going to hit 406 for the rest of the season.
Right.
He's not going to be tearing it up as he is. Right.
Yeah.
Now when that happens, like what's your mentality? Like because it's so easy to get caught up in the highs. Like when you get into that low, like where do you land? Like as a player, like where should you land?
Again, this depends on the guy. Wow, Steer is amazing. I haven't watched him play a whole lot. He plays for the, you know, good team. But anyways, so it depends on the player and what they've done in the past. What I tended to do towards the end of my career was keep a journal,
mm-hmm.
right? Keeping a journal was really helpful because I would write in it even after a good game, right? So let's say I was struggling like a month later. I can go back and look at my entries from before. And I wish that I journaled religiously from the very start of my career. I was fickle with it. And sometimes I get away from it. And all of a sudden I realize, wait, why did I get away from journaling? I need to get back into that. And then there I find my consistent stride again. Mm-hmm. So if you journal, one part of the process would be just go back and see what you were thinking of before. It helps to minimize those slumps. But some guys like go play golf. Like I've heard that Trout, when he struggles, he gets out and plays some golf. Wow, Steer's got a great swing, man. I'm looking at his highlights right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also plays at a really good park to hit homers.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from what he's doing by any means. I mean, the guy rakes.
Yeah.
He's a great swing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm watching him drop tanks dead center in Philly. Like, mm-hmm. you still got to get that.
You still got to get after it, yeah.
I wonder where he lives during the offseason.
Hmm. We should hit him up. Maybe have him in the facility. He's got to be a Long Beach native.
Yeah, Long Beach. Says he's born in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Well, from Long Beach. He goes all fields. He's a good player.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, man, to give advice, like the last thing, I think that people, well, you know, when you're having success and you're young, like I think people just give you your space and let you keep doing your thing and inflate you. But if you do start to struggle, I lean on my coach, like, hey, you see anything in my swing right now? Or you know, look at some video. Just depends what you're struggling with.
Yeah.
But the guy's he's fun to watch. Like, I'm looking at this. He's on my radar now.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Good for him, man. I'm glad that he's having success. You always got to root for those local boys, baby.
You got to.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna wrap this up. I have a quick instinctual yes or no's, right?
Okay.
And we're just gonna go through so far in the American League and the National League, the leaders in the division. Do they remain or do they get kicked by the end of the year? You want to go?
I don't even know who's leading each
division. I will tell you.
I haven't been on top of it.
It's okay. I'll tell you. And you
I'm
just
more
give
of a
that,
players fan. I keep tabs on the players I really like.
You give a
and
give
now
an
Spencer
instinctual.
Steer is one of them now.
What do you want to do this in, or do you not?
I don't. I have no idea what standings are.
Well, I could tell you what the standings
sure,
are,
sure,
and
sure,
you could
sure.
like say like you believe they'll stay there or no.
Okay, if we could do it in 45 seconds.
Okay, Yankees, there or no by the end of the year?
I hope they are. I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to see them back in the mix.
Guardians. They staying up top?
Nah, I can't do this.
No!
I don't want people to think like, oh, Chase is picking a side now and saying we're not going to make it. Like, I don't want to be.
Man.
I'm rooting for all of them, man. I root for all of my guys. I can't put any team down.
Well, I know
But I know the Braves will be there.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.
Dodgers, maybe. You know, it just depends.
What? Don't even start with
no,
that.
No, Dodgers
Are you kidding
have an
me?
Awesome
Come on,
team.
Bro. But come on.
Yeah.
This All right.
was fun, man. This,
this
was
fun.
Fun.
Yeah. Thanks for, thanks for squeezing this in. You're a busy guy, so I appreciate it.
For sure.
And yeah, we'll have you on some more. We'll have on the other guys in the facility more, and we'll talk more baseball.
Yeah, this is good.
Hopefully elongated a little bit more.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
We will. All right. See you, bro.
Here we go.